Starcom Network and the Department of History and Philosophy, University of the West Indies, Cave Hill Campus present Today in Bajan History.
Greetings. I am Claudette Levi Farnham, MA History graduate of the University of the West Indies at Cave Hill Campus. The buying and renting of sugar plantations. On this day, October 3rd in the year 1838, 2 months after emancipation was proclaimed across the British colonies, setting the enslaved free, the Barbadian newspaper carried an article referencing agricultural speculations, which the newspaper stated were proceeding with unexampled spirit. The article further noted that, quote, "Every week almost, we hear of the buying or renting of sugar estates," end quote. In fact, subsequent advertisements in the Barbadian on October the 20th, 1838, listed a number of plantations for rent or sale. For instance, 30 acres of the Bay Plantation in St. Michael was advertised for rent, while the 87-acre Bayfield Plantation in the parish of St. Philip was up for sale, with its canes, provisions, sugar works, outbuildings, and dwelling houses, which were said to be in good repair. The advertisement noted that the plantation was well stocked with cattle, wagons, and carts, and was situated in the healthy part of the island. Merrick's plantation in the same parish was also being sold. This 83-acre estate contained 45 head of cattle together with sheep, many of which were also said to be fit for the butcher. The estate also owned a boat with 6 hands, said to be the best divers in the island. In the Scotland district, Cambridge Plantation was also advertised for sale. This was 300 acres, and the land was said to be abounding with springs of pure water. The estate was also said to be fully stocked, and the buildings were described as being in excellent condition. The background to the sale and rental of plantations and other parcels of agricultural land seemed to be the fear among planters that with emancipation, there would be a shortage of labor for the estates. According to the opinion expressed in the newspaper, and I quote, "The purchasers and leasers of property must be very sanguine in their hopes of the success of free labor. We conclude, however, that those who sell or lease out their estates for a considerable number of years are rather disgusted at the present state of things or apprehensive of the future," end quote. However, the writer of the article was of the view that the future looked positive for the sugar industry, but, quote, "the minds of the agricultural peasantry are not quite settled," end quote. The unsettled nature of the agricultural workers in the view of the planters was that the formerly enslaved were abandoning the estates because the laborers were averse to performing field work. However, research suggests that the formerly enslaved were more concerned about the unsatisfactory wages and conditions being imposed on them since emancipation. In the years after emancipation, many of these plantations remained in the hands of the white planter class. It was only after 1840, in the case of Rock Hall and Bridgefield, both in St. Thomas, that by a bequest of the owner, the formerly enslaved were able to benefit from the sale and subdivision of those plantation lands.
Today in Bajan History, with Starcom Network and the Department of History and Philosophy, University of the West Indies, Cave Hill Campus.